Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Yud Aleph. We're holding on Daf Yud Amid Beis. We are at the two dots on the bottom of the page on Daf Yud Amid Beis. Today's share is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander and none of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi Shir. So what we're going to talk about today is, first, we're going to discuss why the Mishnah has to give three different examples of foreign substances that come up in the Kometz that will ruin the Kemitza. We talk about Olabia Dotsror and Gargar Melech and Lavona. So why do I need to be told three different things? I get it, that anything besides for the flour is going to ruin the Kemitza of the Karban Mincha. Then the Gemara is going to detail the procedure of the Kemitza. How exactly do you stick your hand in? Which fingers do you fold over? How far do you fold those fingers over? And we're also going to discuss the procedure, once we're at it, of Chafina on Yom HaKippurim, which is also one of the Avodos Akashos Shebe Mikdash, and of the Kiddush Kometz Bekli, how they would be Makdish the Kometz in a Kli Shares. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to discuss the exact correct amount that you need to have in the Kometz, and how to achieve that, how to get the right amount of everything that you need to have in your Karban Mincha. The Gemara is going to talk about which types of oil would be the kind of extra oil that would ruin a Karban Mincha, and then we're going to talk about how much Lavona is needed at the different stages of the Mincha. Initially when you're Makdish it, and then when you're Makdir it, do we require an amount of Lavona, and what if it's you have less than that amount at certain stages? Then the Gemara is going to discuss, what if you have extra Lavona? Does extra Lavona ruin the Karban Mincha? And that discussion brings us all the way to the Mishnah on Amud Beis. So let's begin. We're holding out the two dots on Daf Yud Amud Beis. Kamatz v'alu biyadu tzror o gargar melech. Person does kemitza, the Mishnah says, and he pulls up a rock or a clod of earth or a gargar melech, a clump of salt, o koret Lavona, or a flake of Lavona, which is the spice that goes with the Karban Mincha, pasul. It's going to be possible, because it turns out you don't have a full kemitza, because instead of having the kemitza of flour, you have mixed in there something else, a foreign substance. So says Mar Kalhani Lamali, why do you need to give me three different examples of a foreign substance that gets mixed in with your kometz? I get it, there is a foreign substance there. Why do you have to tell me all three cases? Well, tzricha, we need all three, because the itan etzror, if it only would have said that the kemitza is possible when you pull up a tzror, when you pull up a pebble, a rock, a clod of earth in your hand, mishum delav basakravahi, I would say, yeah, that's a real foreign substance, because that is not something that belongs as part of the hakrava of a korban at all. You're never supposed to be makrav rocks and clods of earth on the mizbeach. So yeah, that will really ruin it, and that will mean that the kemitza is chaser. Aval melach to basak. But salt, which is shayich ta'akrava, because after you put the kometz on the mizbeach, they would always salt it. That's a pasuk in the Torah. V'kol korban minchascha b'melach timlach. You're always supposed to salt a korban, even a korban mincha. Se'ema tiskasher. So I might have thought that if you have a little bit of salt in your kemitza, that's fine. That's considered like part of the kemitza. So that's why I need to be told about salt. V'itana melech. And if it only would have told me that salt is going to pasul my kemitza, because it was never hukva in the single kli together with the korban mincha. It was never put together with it to be considered the same mincha. And in parentheses, sheinu maleach ella hakometz bilvad. Yes, we put salt on the korban mincha, but not on the whole thing, only on the kemitza after the kemitza is taken out. You don't have salt in the original kli together with all the other ingredients. It's only after you take the kemitza out that you put the salt on. The reason that's in parentheses is because it's clearly a perush, meaning it's not because it's incorrect, it's because it is very correct, but it is more elaborate than the Gemara normally gets. The Gemara is not normally mefarish itself. It's the kind of thing you'd expect Rashi to say, right? That's why salt doesn't come in at that stage. But Lavona, which is hukva together with the Karban Mincha all at the same time, maybe that's going to be kosher when it comes up with my Kometz. chametz. I pull up a little bit of Lavona. So kamash malan, that's why the Mishnah has to tell me not so. That even if you pull up a little bit of Lavona, which belongs with the Karban Mincha, and which belongs with the Karban Mincha, the earliest stages, even that is going to be pasul. Now the obvious kasha, of course, is, so why don't we just say that if you pull up a Lavona, that it's going to be pasul? And I'll know that if even Lavona, which is part of the Karban Mincha, me'ikara, is going to pasul the Kometz, then obviously salt, which only comes in at a much later stage, and certainly, obviously, if it's a tzrar, which never even belongs with the Karban Mincha, is going to pasul it. So we have to say is that it's a lozu avzu katani, that it's written in the style of lozu avzu, that not only is tzrar going to be pasul, which is more obviously pasul, but even melach, which is less obvious. And not only melach, which is somewhat obvious, but even lavona, which is not obvious at all. That's how you have to understand the progression in the Mishnah. Good, so then the Mishnah said that the reason that if you pull a tzrar or a gargar melech or a karet lavona in your kometz, that it's pasul, is mepresha amrua kometz achasura yasser pasul, that if you have a kemitza that's not an exact kemitza, it's missing a little bit or it has extra, it's not the exact amount, that is going to be pasul. So by definition, when you have a tzrar or a karet lavona or melech in your kemitza, it means you're missing flour in that spot where the tzrar or the lavona or the melech is. So it's chaser. So it says Gemara, but do you really need the fact that it's chaser? My irya mishum chaser v'yaser. Why do you have to say that the problem is that it's a din of chaser? Yeser is not really the problem. Why do you have to say that the din is that it's a problem of chaser? Typically mishum chatzitza. Isn't it fundamentally problematic because it's chatzitza, that if the thing gets mixed in and it's between the hand of the kohen and the flour that's in his hand, so it's a chatzitza between the flour that belongs in his hand and his actual hand. So isn't it anyway problematic? Because by definition, it's a chatzitza, and the halacha is the chatzitza pasuls by kachim. That's a gemara we learned in Masechus Vachim Daf Chav Dalid. Rashi points out, Svasemis points out that from the fact that we take it as a davar pashut, that this would be the kind of chatzitza that would pasul, a little bit of salt, a little pebble, is the kind of chatzitza that pasul. So you see the chatzitza that would pasul by kachim is even on a miyut, whereas by tevila, when it comes to what we normally think of chatzitzas, by tevila b'mikva, the only time you have a chatzitza midaraisa is if it's ruba umakbid, that the chatzitza is on the majority of the person's body, or for that matter, tevilas kelim, the majority on the of the kli, and it's something that you're makbid about. Short of that would only be a chatzitza midrabanan at worst, but apparently when it comes to avoda in the mikdash, says Svasemes, you see that even a karet levona, even a gargir melach, which is a tiny amount, that would be a problem of chatzitza. And that's why the Gemara is asking, don't tell me because it's chaser, you have a more fundamental problem, and that is that it's a chatzitza. So answers the Gemara, Amar Birmiya Minatzad. No, the case is that the foreign substance that's mixed in is on the side of the hand of the Kohen, meaning it's not really between his hand and the flour that he's holding. So he's holding the kemitza, and it's on the side of his hand, it's right next to the edges of his fingers that are holding the kemitza. So it's not between his finger and the flowers, it's at the very edge, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. So is it problematic? Yes, it's problematic, because in that spot that it's taking up, there should have been flour, and therefore your kometz is chaser, and when you have a chaser in your kemitza, it's pasul. Okay, amle abai l'rava, ketzat komtzin, how do they do the kemitza? What's the procedure? Amle kedkamtzi enshi. So what do you mean? Just take a handful. That's what a kemitza is. It's a handful. So take like a people take a handful of anything, like you take a handful of popcorn. So lahavdil, so take a handful of karban mincha. So Eisveis Abaye challenges Rava from Brisa that says that we don't take a full handful for kemitza. That's not how you do kemitza. The Brisa identifies this. Brisa appears in other places in Shas. It appears in Maseches Ksubos. It identifies how each of the fingers that are on a person's hand are useful for divrei kodesh. They could be used for matters of kedusha. They could be used for a variety of mitzvos. The Gemara in Ksubos over there says that even the shapes of our fingers are there to teach us how to utilize them in the proper way, because our fingers, wouldn't they have been so much more convenient if they were pointy at the end like a toothpick? And then when you needed to pick up your food, you wouldn't need a fork. You could just you know, stick your finger, right? So, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, the Gemara says, that our fingers are rounded at the end, so that if you're hearing Lashon Hara, you're hearing something you shouldn't hear, you'll be able to stick your finger in your ear so that you won't be able to hear it without bursting your eardrum. But the Gemara also identifies what the role of each finger is on the hand. So zozeres, the smallest finger, the pinky, is how we measure the zeres of the choshen, which is the length and the width of a piece of the choshen. That is, the pasuk says revuia kafel zeres arkov zeres rachbo, and zo kemitza, the ring finger is the kemitza, because that's the last finger that's holding the kometz of the Karban Mincha. The pinky doesn't hold the kometz of the Karban Mincha. So right there is our kasha. Meaning, if you're going to tell me that kemitza is just a handful, the way people take a handful of popcorn, no one takes a handful of popcorn with their pinky sticking out, right? You take with the whole hand. So you see clearly that it's not a full handful. But we continue in the Braisa. Zu amma, the middle finger, is how we measure an amma. An amma in the Beis HaMikdash is measured from the elbow to the top of the middle finger when it's fully extended. So that's how you measure an amma. Zo etzpa, the index finger, is the etzpa that they would use to dip in the dam of the korbanos chatas, to sprinkle the dam. So when they would sprinkle the dam, they would flick their etzpa. Zo godel, and the last finger, the thumb, is the godel. Lashon Torah, it's called the bohen, and that's where they would put the dam of the asha mitzora and the shemen that goes together. We just had a whole sugya about that, about the shemen going on top of the dam and bohen yadoy emanus, bohen ragloy emanus, right? So that's the feature of the thumb. But bottom line is, you see in this brisa that when they take a kemitza, you don't just take a handful, that it's only some of the fingers that are holding the kometz. So Ella, what Rava meant to say when he said that all the etzbaos are needed for the kemitza, not that you take a whole handful, but it's lahashvos. That ain't a chinami. The kemitza is only between what you have in your in the three fingers of the etzba and the amma and the kometz. But the zeres and the agodel also help out in the kemitza, because they're used to even out whatever might be protruding out of those three fingers. So you want to scrape them off and even them out. So that's what you use the zeres for. And over here also we have a parenthesis. Klomar, kolometz meloayad kidesh lo yechaser v'achar kach mochik be'etzma katana milamata. What it means is you take the handful and then you rub off whatever's sticking out below your ring finger and above your index finger. So that also is in parentheses because it is a perush. It clearly is not the way the Gemara doesn't normally do kolomars, right? Meaning that's obviously Rishon that got stuck into the Gemara somehow. So says Gemara, Hechi Ovid, how did they do the kemitza exactly? Now that I know how large it was, I know that it was only what fit into those three fingers, and that the two fingers at the extremes were used to wipe it down to bring it to the proper size. But how would you do the kemitza? What was the procedure? So Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tovia, Amar Rav, Chofesh Shalosh Etzbaos Achamigia Al Pas Yado Vikomets, that he extends those three fingers over the palm of his hand, and whatever fits in between those three fingers and the palm of his hand, that is the kemitza of the flower that he takes. Tanya Namiyachim, Vabraisa confirms this. Melo Kumtso, it says. So Yachal, you might think that Mevorat, that it should be sticking out, there should be so much flour in his fingers that it should be sticking out from the sides of his fingers. Tamalomar Bikumtso, that it's only what is in the Kometz Mamish, and not that, and there shouldn't be any like Midugedush. It shouldn't be overflowing. It shouldn't be so. Bekumtzo yachal berashi etzbaosav. If it's only bekumtzo, I would think that you just bend your fingers over themselves. That you don't bend the fingers over the palm of your head. It's just what you fit in the fingers themselves. So you take fingers full, not a handful, using three fingers. So tamalomar melo kumtzo. That's why it says melo, that it's more. It's not just that you bend the fingers over yourselves, but over themselves. But you bend the fingers over the palm of your hand. Ha ketzad chofesh. shel tzbos al pas yado v'kometz, that you take all three fingers over the palm of your hand, and that's how you take the kmitza. But machvas u'b'marcheshes, when the kmitza is done by the machvas and the marcheshes, it's done after they bake it in the oven, and then they crumble it up again. Now, obviously, if you have a baked item that you crumble, it doesn't crumble quite to the point of becoming like fine flour. Flour is ground very, very finely. So when you have something that is already baked and crumbled, mochek begodlo milamala betzbo katana milamata. See, when it's just flour, you don't really need to do a mechika with the thumb and with the pinky. That will just fall away. Any extra flour will fall away. But when you're dealing with a baked item that's been crumbled, you take, imagine like a muffin, a corn muffin or something, that you crumble up. So the when you take three fingers full, there's going to be some stuff sticking out. So that's where you need to use the thumb and the pinky to wipe off the extra. So zui avodah katzar shebe mikdash, and this is like the hardest avoda in the mikdash, when you have the minchas machvas and marcheshes, to even it out using your thumb and your pinky to get the exact right amount and make sure that you don't have anything sticking out extra, and that you didn't wipe it down so much that it's chaser. Tosfos writes that the Brisa assumes like the shita, that when they would crumble it up, they would crumble it into shnayim or arba'a, and then they would be komets, because there's another opinion that we're going to have in Daf Ayin Hey, that they would crumble it mamish to the point that it becomes like flour again. Well, if they would crumble it to the point that it becomes like flour again, then it's not such an avodah kasher shebe mikdash to get an exact komets. It's whatever stays in your fingers. But when it's a little more clumpy, then you understand that it's avodah kasher shebe mikdash to get the exact right amount. Tosfos and Maseches Ksubis just adds, and Ksubis Daf Hayin Beis, that you don't say that you're mochek, meaning why don't you just say, take the komets, and instead of using your thumb and your pinky to even it out, which might be challenging, just use your left hand, you know, just go like that with your left hand, and then you'll know, you'll have the right amount. So Tosa says, yeah, because even evening it out is considered an avoda, and avoda is biyamin, avoda is not besmol, so you're not supposed to use your left hand even to even it out. Okay, so the Gemara then says, zu v'sulo, the end of the Braisa, after telling us how we did the kmitza, said, oh, and this is the avoda kasha shebimigdash. That's the avoda kasha shebimigdash. That's it. Va'ika malika. What about malika? That's pretty hard. Isn't that also an avoda kasha shebimigdash when they would do malika on an oath? Va'ika chafina. What about chafina, that which was also quite a challenging avoda that they would do in the Beis HaMikdash? What's the chafina? On Yom Kippur, the Kohen was maktir ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the ketores was a malo chafnaf. He had to fill his hands with the ketores, and he would put it on the coals directly from his hands. So when he'd go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would have to bring a shovel full of coals and a spoonful of ketores, and he was supposed to pour the ketores from the spoon into his hands in order that he could then place it directly from his hands on the gacheles, on the coals, to burn them. The difficulty was to do all of was to do both actions at the same time, to tilt the spoon over in order to pour the ketores out, and also at the same time stick out his hands to catch the ketores that he was pouring out. How do you tilt the spoon over and then catch it with both hands? So that was the avodah kasher shebimigdash, balancing it like in his armpit and then tilting it in a way where it's still going to land in his hand. So that was also avodah kasher shebimigdash. Ella zoi achas me avodah kasher shebimigdash. So kmitza is not the only avodah kasher shebimigdash. It's one of the big three. There are three avodah kasher shebimigdash. There's kmitza, there's malika, there's chafina, and they're all really, really hard. So I'm Rav Papa, pshitali melo kamtso kitkamtsi inshi. It's pasha to me that when it says in the pasuk v'kamtsi misham melo kamtso, it means the way people would normally be komets, meaning that you tilt the palm of your hand on to the side in a way that you stick in the sides of your fingers into the flour to the point that your hand is fully submerged in the flour, and then your komets your etzba'os, right, that you stick your hand in like a karate chop into the flour, and then your komets your etzba'os. Boy, Rav Papa raised the following question though: what if you don't do it exactly exactly right. Is it still kosher? Kamatz birashe etzba'os of mai. What if your hand is spread out so that your palm is facing the flower, and then your kofef roshe etzba'os of into the hand to grab kemach that way. So you go down instead of a karate chop motion, you go flat down with your hand and pull out a kometz. Is that okay? Minat studim. What if minat studim mai? What if you put the back of your hand on the kemach? So you put your hand into the kemach with your hand facing up, and you lower it down into the kemach, submerge it that way, and then pull out the kometz. It will start falling. The flower will start falling into your palm once it goes deep enough into the kemach. So is that going to be okay? Mimata lemaila mai. What if you flip your hand around toward the mincha and you stick your fingers in? I mean, you go in fingers first into the flower and you pull out a kometz. What's the halacha there? So teku, all of these are nibaydul ifshita. We don't know. So the right way to do it is you go in like a karate chop, and then you pull out three fingers of flour. But if you go flat down, you go back of your hands, or you go down with your fingers pointed downward, those are all tekus. Amrav Papa, pshitali, it's pasha to me that when the Torah says the Ketores of Yom Kippur has to be milo chafnav, is kidachafni inshi. It's the way that people typically take handsful, two handsful, meaning that you take the two sides of your hand into the Ketores and you're makrav them one to the other. So you hold the two hands out with the keteris inside your cupped hands. So that's kidechafni inshi. Okay, what if you don't do it exactly like that? Bayrav papa chafan berashe etzba'osav. What if you stick your rashe etzba'osav in the keteris and then you take the melo chafnav mahu? Minat studin mahu. What if you stick the back of your hand into the keteris and you let it fall into your hand? Chafan bezu ubezu v'karvan zu etzel zu. What if you take one handful, then another handful, and then put your hands together to have the melo chafnav? So mahu, teku, all of these again are a teku. We're not sure. By Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, let me ask you another question. Not only about the taking the kemitza, not only about melo chafnav of ketores and Yom HaKippurim, but what about being mekadish the kemitza in a kli? Once you take the kemitza, you're supposed to put that kometz into a kli shares and be mekadish it. So by Rav Papa, davke lekometz bedafne demana. What if instead of dumping it into the kli, where it would just land at the bottom of the kli, you stick it to the side of the kli? It's got some oil there, so it's got some stickiness to it. So you stick it to the side of the kli. So what's not the outside, the inside wall of the kli? So my, what's the din? Toch kli beinan va'ika. Do we say that it just needs to be inside the kli? So it's inside the kli. It's on the side wall of the kli, not on the bottom of the kli, but it's inside the kli. O dilma hanacha bit. Or do you say, no, you need to have hanacha bitocha, which means in the bottom of the kli, and you have not fulfilled that. So teku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved as well. Another shayla, by Mar Baravashi, havchei lemana v'dapke lekometz barisa demana. What if you have a kli where it's like on a little bit of a stand, it's built into the kli, so if you turn the kli over, there's a base kibble on the bottom as well. You would never think to use it that way, right? You have a bowl or a cup that clearly it's meant to be used right side up, but if you were to flip it upside down, there is a little bit of a base kibble from using the stand. So what if you flip the kli over and you put the kometz in there, in the reverse side of the kli? Is that going to be a valid way of being mekadesh the kometz? So my, what's the din? Hanacha betocha bi'inon va'ika. Does it just need to be inside the kli somewhere, and this is inside the kli? Adoma katikno bi'inon v'lecha. Or maybe it needs to be the way the kli is meant to be used, and it's obviously not meant to be used by flipping it upside down and using the reverse side of it. It's obviously meant to be used by using the primary side of it. So teku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved. So a lot of tekus. So what do you do when you have a teku? I'm not sure if this is kosher. It's a kosher way to do the kemitza. It's a kosher way to do the kiddush begli. It's a kosher way to do the chafina. So what's the halacha? So the Rambam in Maisar Kabanos Perik Yud Gimel Halacha Yud Gimel about the kemitza cases, and in Avodas Yom HaKippur in Perik Hei Halacha Chavches about the chafina. That's obviously going to be in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, because that's only an Avodah of Yom HaKippurim. In all these fakos, the Rambam writes that if you did these things, not proper if you did these things, but if you did these things, Hurtza, it works. It affects the Ritzoy. You've accomplished what you need to accomplish. So the Ar Sameach points out that this is the Rambam L'shitaso, that by all Sveikos and Dine Kachim, if you're Makdir, it's Hurtza, because the Rambam holds that Midaraisa, really, any Suffolk we could be Makel. The fact that we assume Suffolk Daraisa L'chumra is itself only a Din Midrabanan. So on a Daraisa level, when you're wearing your Daraisa glasses, and you're only looking at the world from a Daraisa perspective, when you have a Suffolk on a Daraisa, it would be Lakula. So the Rambam says, so it's Hurtza, Bidyeved, it's Hurtza, it works on Klapi Shemaya, it's going to work, because Suffolk Daraisa L'chumra itself is only a Din Midrabanan. By Kachim, they did not impose on a Bidyeved level that Chumra of Suffolk Daraisa L'chumra. So that's the Shitas HaRambam. Fine, so now we have a new Mishnah. Again, but still continuing to discuss the din of kmitza. Ketzeduosa, how do you do the avodas kmitza to make sure that it's not chaser or yeser? So you stick the tzidei etzba'osav in the flour, again, like a karate chop type of motion, and you stick your hand all the way down into the flour, and you poshet es etzba'osav al pas yado, and then you bend your fingers over the palm of your hand, and you pull out that kometz. Riba shamna v'chisa shamna, or chisa Levonasa psula. If you have too much oil, or too little levona, then it's going to be pasul. So says the Gemara. We had said that, so we're only focused on that last line now. We said riba shamna, chiser shamna, chiser levonasa psula. Hechi dami riba shamna. What does it mean you have too much oil? So Amar Rav Lazar, gon shifreshla, shnei lugin. That you have for this mincha, instead of a log shemen, which is what a mincha is supposed to get, you have shnei login of shemen in this mincha, and you mix it together with the mincha, so it looks like two separate menachos. So the Gemara understands from Rav Lazar that only if you are marbe the shemen that's designated for a mincha is going to be pasul. Sounds like if you're marbe other shemen, foreign shemen like shemen chulin or shemen of a different mincha, that it would not be pasul. And that's why he said hey chidami riba shamna, and Rav Lazar specifically said shnei login. Why not say a log and a half? A log and a quarter, a log and a mashahu, because the only way you could be makdish it for this carbon mincha is if it's a full log of shemen. It's just that you were makdish two separate full logan of shemen for this carbon mincha. That's the only time it's going to be a problem. Sounds like if you were to take a little bit of extra oil from the cabinet in your house, or a little bit of extra oil from a different carbon mincha, that would not passel. So says Gemara, v'lukma kagon da'arav ba shemen d'chulin v'shemen d'chavirta. Why is it only passel if you have another full log of shemen that was designated for this mincha? Why wouldn't it likewise be pasul if you had another log of shemen or a little bit extra shemen, just that was shemen chulin or that was shemen of a different kabar mincha? V'chi temen, maybe you're going to tell me shemen chulin, shemen dechavir to lo pasul, that no, it just doesn't pasul. Shemen of chulin and shemen of another mincha doesn't pasul. The only time riboy shemen is a problem, if it's riboy shemen of this mincha. Well, that's not possible to say, because mincha schote, the pasul b'shemen hechi mishkachsa. We know that a mincha schote is not supposed to have shemen, but how could it be? What exactly is the case where shemen pasels a mincha schote? Meaning, if the only kind of shemen that could pasel is the shemen designated for that karban, so how do you ever have shemen that pasels a mincha schote? Edida, if it's the shemen designated for a mincha schote, halesla, there is no shemen designated for a mincha schote. A mincha schote is supposed to be without any shemen. And if you're mafra shemen for it, that's not roi for it, it's just chulin, it just doesn't work. It's not. It's never shemen designated for minchas chote. And idu chulin chavirta amrat lo pasul. But so you're going to tell me, oh, it's just some other shemen from another carbon, or shemen from no carbon at all, just shemen of chulin. But you just got through telling me that doesn't pasul, that the only extra shemen that could ever pasul a mincha is more of its own shemen. So don't you see? So that apparently shemen chulin and shemen de chavirta does pasul. So we're therefore back to the question: why does Reb Elazar say that our Mishnah is dafka where you have shnei lugin that you're mafresh for this carbon mincha, and that's riboy shemen that's problematic? Why not just say you took a little shemen out of your cabinet and you put it into the mincha, and that pasuls it? Any shemen chulin should pasul it. You don't need a whole log. So Reb Elazar lo mi baya kamar. In a chinami, Reb Elazar was saying a lo mi baya. He was saying an ein sarach lomar, meaning that lo mi baya to chulin to chaver to the pasul. I don't even need to tell you that shemen of chulin or shemen of another mincha is going to pasul this. It's the wrong shemen. Obviously, that's going to pasul. So what we thought a moment ago is not pasul. We're now saying it's so obvious that it's pasul it didn't even bear mentioning. Right? That's why we don't mention shemen chulin and shemen of another mincha. It's so obvious it doesn't even need to be mentioned. Avol hifrish l'shnei lugin hol v'haychazilei emalo lifsul. But if you have shnei lugin that were both hufrash for this mincha, since each one could have been the log shemen that were used for this mincha, so I would think that they don't pasul when you use both of them. So kamash milan, that's the chiddush, that even though each of these login on their own could have been the log shemen for this mincha, when you have both of them together, it pasuls. How does Reb Elazar know that extra shemen that was designated for this mincha pasuls it? So Rav Masnisin Kashise, Ma'ir Ditani Riba Shamna, Lisni Riba La Shemen. Why, when the Mishnah wants to say that the extra shemen is problematic, does it say you have more of its shemen? Just say more shemen. Why more of its shemen? So it must be Allah HaKamashman, Afgav Dehivrishla Shnei Lugin. It must be that we're talking about shemen that was designated for this mincha, that you had, instead of being mafresh one log for this mincha, you were mafresh two separate login for the mincha, either one of which could have been used, and then you used both of them. That's the case. The Mishnah was talking about where it's going to be possible. Then we said chisa levonasa, that if you have an insufficient quantity of levona, that it's going to pasul. So Tan Rabban Chasva Amdal Karet Echad. The Brisa says that levona that's missing some of it, and you only have one flake. I don't know how to translate karet. I guess like a flake of levona that remains. So psula, it's going to be pasul. Al shnei kratin. But if you have two flakes left, then kshera. Then it's going to be kosher. Divi Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Shimon Omer Al Karet Echad Kshera Pachs Mikam Psula. If you have one karet of levona left, it's still kosher. It's only if you have even less than that it's going to be possible. So frankly, Gemara, wait, you're telling me that you're allowed to be missing most of the levona, and it's just a machlokas of how much you need left? You need two left, you need one left in order for it to be kosher? Vatanya, come to levona shechaser kol shu pasul. That the Brisa said that if you're missing any levona, the whole thing is pasul. So how can you say that just having one left, just having two left is going to be kosher? The Brisa says that just having that missing any of the levona is problematic. So to me, korat levona shechaser kol shu pasul. You have to be misaking that last brisa, and you have to say that a korat levona that is missing a little bit of that last korat is pasul. Meaning, like shitas Rabbi Shimon, where Rabbi Shimon says that if you have even just one korat levona left, it's still kosher. So the brisa is not saying if you're missing any levona, it's pasul. It's saying if you're missing any of the levona from your very last korat, that's pasul, because the rest of it is gone already. V'ibay yisema, or another possible answer is that the first price is talking about levona that comes together with the carbon mincha. So if it's missing a little bit and you left, it's missing some of it and you left with one karet, Rabbi Shimon would say it's kosher. Whereas the second price is talking about levona that you took a harei alai levona. You took a neder to bring a levona as a carbon. So then you have to bring a full kometz of levona to be makter on the mizbeach. And in that case, if you're missing any of it, anything less than a komet, it's going to be pasul. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shalosh machlokas bedavar. There are actually three different shitos. In our Mishnah, we said chiser levonasa psula, that if you're missing any levona, it's pasul. Sounds like even if you're missing a little bit, even if you're missing any amount of levona, it's pasul. And that's and the stam Mishnah is always Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir savar komets batchila v'komets basof. Rabbi Meir holds you need to start the carbon with a komets levona, and you need to finish the carbon at the shas haktara. There there needs to be that full kometz of Levona. It cannot go missing. No part of it can go missing. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, kometz betchila. Yes, you start with the kometz, but a shnei kratin basof. At the time that you're makdir, you just need shnei kratin of Levona to be remaining. Rabbi Shimon Savar, kometz betchila. Everyone agrees to the kometz betchila part. V'karet echad basof. That all you need left at the Shas Haktara is one karet of Levona, and that's good enough. U'shlashan mikraya chadarshu, and all of them are dashing from the same pasuk. Pasuk says, "Veskala levona sher ala mincha." Rameir savra adis levona di ikavabadi mincha meikara. That you need all of the levona that was initially designated together with this cover mincha, meaning the full komets. Rabbi Yehuda savra kol vafilu chad karet. And Rabbi Yehuda says, "Oh, kol teaches me that even one karet of levona is good enough." And ace lerabos karet acher. And ace tells me another extra karet. So that's why you need shnei kratin of levona, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Eis Lo Darish. Rabbi Shimon says, Kol teaches me one Koret, and he just doesn't darshan Eis. Tosfos points out, doesn't mean he never darshans the word S in the Torah. It means that over here, he doesn't darshan the word S in this case. Now, the din that we mentioned, that Rabbi Meir holds that you need a Kometz Betchila, that everyone agrees that you need a Kometz Betchila, right? The whole question was afterwards. So how much do you need left afterwards? But anyway, those are the three opinions, and that's how we darshan. Vam Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Vam Rabbi Yochanan, machlokas b'levona haba'a ima mincha. The whole machlokas is when the levona comes along with a mincha. Aval b'levona haba b'fnei atzma, divrei hakol, kometz b'tchila v'kometz b'sof. If you bring levona as a standalone korban, harei alai levona, and you just decide to bring a kometz of levona, then it needs to be a kometz b'tchila and b'sof. L'ach yitzrich asher ala mincha, d'bahadi mincha im b'fnei atzmalo. And that's why the pasuk has to say, when it tells me, when the pasuk indicates to me how much levona you still need left, it says asher ala mincha, that when it's being brought with the mincha, that's where we have these rules. But when it's not being brought with the mincha, it's being brought on its own, none of these rules apply. Then you need the whole kometz. Vam Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Vam Rabbi Yochanan. Reason Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan Weiter says machlokes b'levona haba mincha, levona haba b'vazichin, divrei hakol shnei kometzim b'tchila, shnei kometzim b'sof. The whole machlokes is with the kometz that comes together with the regular carbon mincha, but the kometz of the levona that's brought with the lechem apanim, which is never mixed with the mincha, it's never mixed with the lechem apanim, it's in separate spoons on the side of the shulchan. It's not together in the same kli with the mincha with the loaves. That needs to be a full kometz b'tchila and b'sof. So says Mar Pshita, that's obvious. Legabe the levona, the lechem apanim, it doesn't say kol, so there's no mukar to tell me that anything less than the full kometz would ever be kosher. It only said kol by a kometz that's brought together with a regular mincha. So ma'u detema kivin debadi lechem asya ka asher ala mincha damya. I might have thought that that's called ala mincha because it's not brought on its own. It's brought together with the lechem apanim, but just separated from it. Meaning there are really three levels. There's harei alai levona where there's no mincha in the picture. You're just bringing levona. Okay, so there it obviously needs to be a full kometz. There's a regular levona that's actually mixed in the same kli with the carbon mincha. So that's where kol, that's where it could be, you need two kratim, one kore, that's where we have the three-way machlokas. And then you have by the lechem apanim, where you have two bezichei levona, that it needs to be together with the lechem apanim, but not mamish together with it. It stands separate from, but it cannot be brought totally on its own. So pligi Rabbi Amram Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, there's machlokas Rabbi Amram Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, chadam machlokas b'levona abo ima mincha. One of them says the machlokas is only with the levona that comes with the mincha, b'levona abo b'fnei atzma, divrei hakol, kometz b'tchila, kometz b'sof, that levona that's brought independently, of course you need a kometz all the way through. And the other one says, no, the same machlokas is going to apply, even when you just say, harei alai levona, and you bring a whole kometz of levona. Then we said chiser levona sapsula. If you have, if you're missing some of the levona, it's possible. Hayasir ksheira. The diuk is sounds like when it came to the shemen, we said if you have too little or too much, it's possible. When it came to the levona, we said too little is possible. We never said too much is possible. So the diuk is that too much levona is going to be kosher. Vatanya yasir psula, but Brisa tells us otherwise that too much levona is possible as well. So Rabbi Chama kagon shifrishla shnei kmatzin. The case is that you're mafresh two kmatzim of Lavona, and since you have more than necessary, it's pasul. When we said that from our Mishnah, it sounds like if you have too much, it's kosher. That's when you have a little bit too much, not a whole kometz extra. You have a kometz and change instead of two full kmatzim. That is how Rashi understands. Tosas asks on Rashi that adraba, there's more makom to be machshir when it's full, two full kometzes than it is to be machshir when there's a little bit extra. After all, isn't that what we said about the log shemen? That when it's shnei log, I don't even need to tell you that if you have one log shemen and then a little bit extra from your kitchen cabinet, that that's pasul. But even if you have shnei login that are both hukdash for this carbon, even that's pasul, because there's more reason to assume that that would be kosher. So the same thing should apply over here by the kometz. Even if you have an extra kometz that, I would think that's more, if you want to give me one case that's kosher, one case that's pasul, the extra kometz case should be the case that's actually kosher, because it's each one standalone could have been the kometz that's meant for this korban mincha. It's a fascinating svara, right? That the idea is that if each item on its own would be valuable and would be meaningful, then when put together, it's not going to pasul. But if you have kometz plus a little bit, that little bit could never have been meaningful for anything, so then it's going to be pasul. That's going to be problematic. This comes up in the following context. There is a discussion. What if you have the Nota B'Yudah discusses, you have a Sefer Torah that has an extra letter in a way that it doesn't change any of the meaning of the words. How does it not change any of the meaning of the words? And we're not pekin, but chaseros v'yaseros certainly don't matter. So no, it's just a hanging letter. It's not part of a word. It's just somewhere on the cloth. You just have someone put a Zion there somewhere in the middle. So the Nota B'Yudah says that that's going to be kosher, and it brings a raya from a ravid that were makshir tefillin that has tevos kfulos, and tefillin is more chumra than a sefer Torah. So if tefillin, where you have a word that's repeated, it's going to be kosher. So then for sure in a sefer Torah. So the Koch of Miyakov writes in the Chuvi, says no, the ravid was makshir when you have a word written twice, because either one of those could have been the right word. So when you have, it's like the extra full kometz, that's going to be kosher. But an extra letter where on its own is worthless, that's like a kometz and a quarter. That's more likely to be pasul. If one of them got lost before the kmitza, then the two kmatzim are not hukva with the mincha. Only one of them is hukva with it, and it's kosher. Achar kmitza, but if at the time of the kmitza both kmatzim of Lavona were there, then hukvu, then it's going to be pasul. You have four kmatzim for the shnei bezichin of lechem apanim vavdu shnayim mehen kodim siluk bezichin, and you lost two of them before the siluk bezichin, lo hukbu'u, it's going to be kosher. La'achar siluk bezichin, then hukbu'u, then it's going to be pasul. Hasu lamali hainuach, why do you need to tell me the case of the lechem apanim? Oh, it's the same thing as a regular mincha. So ma'u detema kivin debar kometz tida, that since the kometz levon of the lechem apanim stands independently, kivin shigiez manu leparka, once the time comes to take off the bezichin levon from the shulchan, kemanda prikadamya, it's as if it's already removed from the shulchan, and memela the shnei extra kmatzim are already hukvu, because they're in the bezichim and they're therefore they're bali de psul. So kamash mla, and that's why it has to tell me that that's not so, and the extra kmatzim are not nikva just by the virtue of the fact that the time came for the siluk bezichim. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis.